All right, folks, here we are. We're about to have a conversation with Michelle, the indie mom of comedy.
Yay!
Yes, former OSI Baltimore Community Fellow and the founder of Gold Diggers, the Sankofa Project, back in the studio again.
Hello, Mark Steiner.
How are you?
I am a bucket of awesome.
She always says that. She is, too. Kola Tengela is in the house.
Hey!
President of Tengela Entertainment, instructor and creator of the Positive Change Theater Performing Arts Program at Augusta Fell Savage Institute of Visual Arts High School, which you can say in 2 seconds if you hold your breath, and Open Society, also an Open Society Institute Fellow, and of course, who does Tengela's Take here on the Mark Steiner Show. Good to have you both in the studio.
My pleasure. Glad to be here, Mark. Thank you. Thank you.
So I was thinking about a lot of things, and I figured you two might be helping me through this.
Now, you need more than us for help, but we'll do what we can do.
We'll do the best we can.
We will do the best we can, but Mark, there's a whole group of people waiting to help you.
Oh, I know there are. Like, help me right out the door.
We don't apply on your personal business, but there's several clinicians, as you know, over your lifetime that have been offering to help you.
And they cannot find your diagnosis in DSM at all. They've been looking.
They're still trying to figure out where to put that.
Absolutely. Diagnosis.
But they had the contest, $10 bill. On the bill, there's a very funny take in The Wire where the guy comes up and gives one of the hustlers gives another hustler the $10 bill and he says, give me that dead president. And one young kid says, he's not a president. It's Alexander Hamilton. He was never a president. He said, everybody was on there was a president. Don't tell me what it is. And so he goes, okay. Well, he wasn't a president. He was Secretary of the Treasury. But they're talking about taking him off the $10 bill.
Wow.
And they voted in Harriet Tubman.
I say let's do it.
No, that'd be absolutely fantastic. One thing, just put an end to racism and misogyny straight off the bat.
On a $10 bill.
On a $10 bill. It solved the problem. At least America can say it did something. Get rid of that old, tired, crusty white man and put on a heroic, warrior spirit black woman.
I got a take on that, Coley.
Yeah.
You put a black woman on a $10 bill. What about the brothers who use $10 bills to make it rain? It's a bad situation.
Oh, yeah.
When you got $10 bills being thrown at the
sisters
who work in their situation on a pole, and they got a black woman being thrown at them. I'm just a little adverse. We got to put a moratorium on allowing $10 bills into the strip club. That's what we need
Harriet
to do
Tubman
first.
Cannot be used.
She can't be in the strip club.
In somebody's daughter.
In a nightclub.
She can't be turned up.
But actually, now some of my feminist sisters might say, well, if he's going to toss any money at a black woman on a pole, then it should be a black woman, Harriet Tubman, who led black folk to freedom and financial freedom for their sister on the pole.
That's taking you a lot of work. So listen, I'm going to quote Harriet Tubman. She would have freed a whole lot more slaves if they'd have known they were slaves. Okay, so
these
people on the pole don't know they're slaves, so she can't free them if she's throwing money at you and she's on the picture.
Maybe you take a big stack and you fling it hard and hit them upside the head with a whole bunch of Harriet Tubman.
But here's the crazy part. Hamilton, Mark, is it true?
We were talking about this earlier.
Hamilton.
Well, now here's the deal with Hamilton now. Yeah. They were picking a particular bill denomination, the 10, with Alexander Hamilton on that bill, the former Secretary of the Treasury.
Right.
Now, Alexander Hamilton, it turns out, was not born in the United States of America. Of course, it was colonial times. Most of them weren't born when it was the U.S. Was born in the Caribbean. Don't know who his daddy was.
Oh, he was a Caribbean.
Don't know what his daddy was. And there's lots of conversation that Alexander wasn't exactly white.
Okay.
Now, you threw out a term, and we had a good time with it before we got
I said there was all kinds of his mom.
What's that term? It sounded like a pastry.
Octoroon.
Octoroon. And I concur that anything with roon in it got some chocolate. So hashtag roon also is a translation for de colores.
Or she might have been like, what do they call women who are 1/16th? What's the name for that, too?
Black.
Simple as that.
As soon as you get a drop, that's when it stops.
When you start getting into fractions with your blackness, just switch it. I don't care if you carry the one. You still black.
Unless you got even numbers on top and the bottom. 16/16 is one. So she is one black woman. And the deal is that it's irony that he may have been of color when, in essence, everyone here came from of color. You know what I mean? So if he's going to be – so he's got kicked off of the bill.
Well, see, here's what let's say for argument's sake, this might be right, that Alexander Hamilton was not.
Oh, then I straight can't support that. You're not going to kick a brother off the bill. Find some real whole white people
feminism?
And kick off the bill.
What happened to your feminism?
No. Harriet Tubman. But Harriet, keep the brother on the bill or the quadroon 16th brother, for those macaroon. Who want to be taken, the macaroon, the macaroon.
He's a Mac and he's a room.
Room, that's right. He's a player.
But he getting money.
But then go out and find some of them other full, we know they were white people, gentlemen, and remove them and then put the sister, Harriet Tubman, saying. On that one.
Oh.
So why? And they're talking about they have to share a spot together.
Is
one on one side, one on the other,
the
something,
corner?
Right?
Well, she got the lower third. What is really going on?
Remember, Michelle, what you mentioned about the whole thing sometimes to do with magazines? Go through that again.
You know, on some magazines, they have one cover, and there's one full cover, and then you have to read it in that particular order. And then you flip over the entire cover. On the back, there's another cover, and you have to read it upside down. But you can't do that with money, because then it's counterfeit.
Yeah, then also,
we can't do that.
Why you got to flip the black woman upside down?
We'd already been flipped. I'm tired of being flipped.
Flipped, manipulated, enslaved. But ravaged, abused, that got to stop, even on money.
They could pick another denomination, I think. You know what I mean? Like,
if you bring up the $2 bill, because I'm done with the $2 bill.
Well, remember, now, when I was young, little girl, when I was young, everybody carried the $2 bill in your pocket.
Are you kidding me?
Because that was the only way you could avoid a rogue and vagabond charge.
I'm sorry, could you deconstruct that?
Rogue and vagabond.
Please.
If you didn't have $2 in your pocket, you were rogue and vagabond, and you had no money, and they busted you and put you in jail.
You've got to be kidding
me. No, back in the early 60s, had a rogue and vagabond charge.
So I guess technically everybody, unless you didn't have your smartphone or your bank card or credit card, you technically could be a roving vagabond.
Not a roving vagabond, a rogue and vagabond.
Rogue. Like going rogue?
Like rogue.
You just like out there. Oh, it was a law?
Like McCain?
Rogue and vagabond.
Like rogue, like McCain? Like John McCain rogue?
Yeah, and
like
I think if I remember, Thomas Jefferson might have been on that bill.
He was on the $2 bill?
Right.
Yes, he was.
So it was rogue and vagabond.
And we know he liked chocolate. He was a room, too.
Yeah.
He was a Mac that liked
rooms.
No,
I think you could consider it a baker.
He was a baker that liked rooms.
Rooms.
Yes.
But now it should be the $20 bill, because on the $20 bill is an out-and-out, I'm about to say this.
Say it.
Out-and-out, one of the most vile racist presidents in the United States history.
You know what? I've completely erased who's on the $20
Andrew
bill.
Jackson. Loved slavery.
At the top of the poll.
Loved his slaves. Loved to kill Indians.
Gosh.
Andrew Jackson.
They wouldn't take the known overtly racist individual off the money.
Right.
No. Going to keep him. But somebody that you suspect his ethnicity,
right,
who could possibly be a person of color,
passing.
Straight kicked him.
Passing.
Straight. He evicted.
He's passing.
passing
for white.
Straight evicted him off the money. And then going to say, if we do put Harriet Tubman on there, that he, passing man, would have to share it with the sister.
Maybe she put Rachel Dozier on there.
Rachel Dozier.
We should split it down and put the white woman on one side and the sister, but both of them are her, and just have do what you like at the bottom.
Also, but if we do Rachel Dolezal, it would be also honoring and acknowledging those with mental illness.
Yes, that would be PC, very politically
correct. Very PC, right there.
Yeah.
Who are you gonna put on that bill?
No, Rachel Dolezal. Or the mentally ill.
Yeah, she is in a DSM somewhere.
Poor child.
She suffers.
I feel bad
something.
For her.
I don't feel bad.
I do.
I don't. I think that she is absolutely awesome.
Awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Even when she was white and suing Howard University?
Let me tell you why I think she's awesome.
She is the epitome
of how in America, if you're white, you can do anything. You can wake up white, have pictures of yourself white,
right,
getting married white, and then you show up on a show and they say, are you African American? She says, I don't understand the question. I love white, crazy women. They are the best fighter I've ever had in my life. I like how she marched on all the black civil rights thing, and she was clearly a white woman. I like the black man that married her who knew she was white when he married her, and then he stayed with her. I just think
didn't blow her cover.
He didn't blow her cover. Both
her
of
cover.
Them were crazy. I like crazy people who are intentional with their madness, and they want you to accept it. And she wants, now she's, they're throwing shows at her now. They're going to try to give her
her
own
really?
Show. Oh, God. Yeah, she's getting all kinds of calls from Hollywood. I love it.
I know. Bravo would love it, and what else?
It's the
VH1,
of
Bravo.
What do you call it, Black Like Me?
Privilege. I know, like the book, right?
Yeah.
But I love that book. That was a great book.
Well, that book was a really good book.
It was a great book, but he used to lament and say, I can't wait to get in the house and wipe this stuff off.
No, you couldn't wipe it off because he took these injections to make his skin darker.
See, I was under the impression when I read
it was makeup.
That it was makeup.
No.
Yeah, Mark. He took it off. He used to. He talked about. Yes, he took it. Coley, have you ever read? It's an old book, but
I read the book as a kid.
I read the book as well, but he took. He could take the makeup off. Mark.
But there also, it was a film. Was it Richard Widmark who portrayed it in the film version of Black Like Me?
I never saw the film version. The book was so thrilling. I mean, because of the visuals, the verbs that he had to use and the adjectives.
John Howard Griffin, that was his name.
Is that what his name was?
John Howard Griffin.
His name escaped me, but I remember the book. The book was epic to me. But now that we're talking about, you know, crazy.
Then I can put him on a dollar bill.
No, but crazy white people. Can we please talk about Donald Trump? I so love him.
You think Donald Trump is crazy?
No.
Yes,
Donald Trump
is
proof that wealth should be considered a mental illness unto itself. Can you make so much money that you could literally go insane? Your stacks are so big.
But I think wealth just personifies how crazy you already were. I think that Donald Trump has always been a narcissist with a live growing animal on his head. I think he has always been a complete self-inflated narcissist. And I think the money just gave him a platform just to show the whole world that I am a narcissist. And I love how he doesn't back away from his idiotic nature. He just sits right in it. He was just in Arizona and he got heckled. And then he says something like, oh, yeah, the Mexican government sent these people to come and heckle me. I mean, he just sits in it. It's like he doesn't even deny himself. I love people.
What's beyond doubling down in it? Whatever's beyond going straight up, doubling down, going hard, Donald Trump does it in just blatant, racist, sexist buffoonery.
I've never heard buffoonery attached to a white guy. That's so cool.
Yeah, he's a buffoon. And also, what major newspaper in New York?
Another room.
When he announced he was going to run for president, put a picture of a clown.
Next to him?
No, as him.
Oh, boy.
Donald Trump announced he's running for president, and it was a clown in full makeup.
Oh, my gosh.
Or they photoshopped him as a clown.
I love it.
With the whole big fluffy collar and the red hair and the nose.
I love it.
Donald Trump is running
Donald
for president.
Trump.
But can you believe the amount of air he's taking out of the media towards that great big cavalcade Soul Train line of Republican candidates?
Right.
I mean, they could do a Soul Train line literally them. There's
really
so
could.
Many of them.
It is a lot of them.
And
it's like the Lou Rawls Parade of Stars. You ever remember that? You used to come
on
the United Negro College Fund. It would be the Lou Rawls Parade. So this is like the Lou Rawls Parade of Republican candidates for office. It's just like you can't get enough of it. And Donald is like the ringmaster. You know how the clowns all get out of the little Volkswagen Beetle and it's just like this little itty bitty car. They all just keep climbing out. Donald is one of the clowns that just keep climbing out over and over again. Like they try to execute him and he just keeps coming.
He's neck and neck with Bush right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
He's going to be in the first debate, minimal. And that's going to be, they're actually going to have to deal with him. But how can you deal with, like, a person who's obviously crazy?
Right.
It's just like, how can you win a war against, like, what they call so-called terrorism when the people are willing to kill themselves to kill you? How can you defeat someone who's crazy and quite comfortable with it and embraces it?
That's when you need. That's like Hannibal Lecter, right? That's like Jodie Foster interviewing Hannibal Lecter in that movie, and he's like, "I like fava beans." You're like, you're sitting there. He says, "You ever had fava beans?" And he's looking at her, and he's licking his lips. You're like, "This dude is clearly crazy," and she's sitting there with a straight face. You need somebody like that. I hope they get Gwen Ifill. I hope they get
to moderate it.
Yes. Yes, yes. Because she's so matter of fact. Is it Gwen or Carol? Which one moderated the one last when the last?
Rifle did last year.
Yeah, and she is so professional and just such a journalist that he could try to like he would literally look like a jumping fool just jumping around because she would be like, okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, but what Donald Trump said, he was like saying, I don't understand why people say I dislike Mexicans or Mexico. I was having dinner and it was some Mexicans waiting on me and they came over to me and they said, in between my my entree and my main course, said, we love you, Donald Trump. I said, I love you too.
But then
just
when they ask,
mentally, don't
this is insane. That's narcissism. He has narcissistic disorder. He is in a DSM. That's what you think so highly
he's
of.
In,
yourself.
What? Oh, the DSM.
He's in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual because he is the epitome.
BSM.
There should be a picture of him.
And he's in
next
that one too.
Yeah.
The BSM.
There should be a picture of him. When they say the diagnosis for narcissistic disorder, it should be a picture of Donald Trump, because he is insane. Because they asked him about some of his properties where he's building. Do they know if all of his workers are documented? And he said, I can't really, can't really confirm that all of the people.
So you're not going to vote, for him.
But I assure you, if they are, they are thieves and rapists. If they are
they
working
all
came
for me. Because they were in Mexico raping and thieving. Yeah.
Who else would you hire?
I don't know.
So I looked this thing up just to make sure I was right about Black Like Me.
Okay.
And Mr. Griffin went to his dermatologist, John Howard Griffin.
Really?
And he underwent a regimen of anti-vitiligo drugs, the oxycrelin, and spent 15 hours a day on top of that under an ultraviolet lamp after he got after he took these doses so he could turn his skin.
You
got to
be kidding me.
Or browner.
And this was back in the 70s, right?
60s. 59.
60s.
1959.
Mm-hmm. 1959. Oh, my gosh. So there was technology to do that back then?
It was just a drug that people took,
So I don't know why I got the impression that he could wipe it off something.
No, he could never wipe it off. I didn't think he could. And so he went all through the segregated states and did the story and passed as a black man. I remember that book, because I was like 14 when the book came out, or 15 or something.
But eventually did it reverse itself and he was able to be white again?
Yeah, because the effects wear off.
Oh, it's like,
so it's like
the tattoo version of henna. Right.
Oh, gotcha. Or the reverse of vitiligo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because you're white as I don't know what
faded,
vitiligo.
He faded back into whiteness.
Isn't that interesting? I would have just loved to see him become white again. I just think that would have been interesting in and of itself. You would find that, Mark.
I just wanted to check. I thought for sure he had
But
done
Michelle,
something
can you imagine it? That means he hit every level of rune. When he was
Octavine.
Moving back from black to white, he said, what are you?
A rune.
A rune. I'm a rune. So quadroon, octoroon, sojourn.
No rune at the end. No rune at the end.
The last. No rune at the end. That's hilarious.
That's when he was all black.
He was at the last stage, which is biracial. That's because it's two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the octa is eight. So
I was trying to find the word for the 16th. There's got to be a word for being a 16th.
It's called foolishness, because the whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, race is such a social construct. Isn't that what Rachel Dolezal said?
It is a social construct.
But now you're calling mentally ill people.
No,
I don't think Rachel's mentally ill.
I do.
She's just got some.
She's hustling.
This is a mess.
Mark, you don't think she's think she's mentally ill? Why you sympathize with her? Because your diagnosis has not been confirmed. What's really happening? You have empathy for your fellow non-diagnosed.
I do. I do have empathy for those.
No, but Mark does not claim to be black. But
no, he never.
If you hear him, but guess what? Folk are so amazed. They Google him and images, and they say, "I was expecting somebody looking like Barry White."
The Steiner always gives him away, though. Anything with Stein in it is a sure shot.
Actually, my black children are named Steiner.
I know your black children are named
Steiner.
And they're black Jews.
They are that.
Yeah, yeah. So they get...
Are they Hebrew Israelites, my brother?
They are Hebrew Israelites. So when they get their applications pushed through, they get pushed through, and then they show up for the face-to-face, and they're like, thought that you were...
My daughter Chelsea had many issues when she went to visit Israel. She said she was just shocked what happened there.
Really?
A long time ago when she was in college. Yeah.
The Steiner didn't give her like a...
Mm-mm.
I thought she would get a nice little pass with the Steiner.
Had to hit a boy on the beach in the head with a Coke bottle.
In Israel?
Yeah, he called her the N-word when they got into an argument, and she took a Coke bottle and smacked him upside the head.
Yeah,
heavy Coke bottle, too.
Go. I'm so proud of your baby.
Oh, no, it's my girl.
Yeah.
My children stand up. But let me ask you a question. Confederate flag, how good do you feel? Or do you care?
Let me tell you something right now.
Coming down.
That woman who climbed that pole.
I love that woman.
Can I just tell you right now, I'm not for women being on poles. That's just not my thing.
But
I'm going to tell you, that woman made the most change any woman ever going to make on the pole. Trust me. Because women try to make some change when they get on that pole. But this woman, she created change on that pole. And I think it was epic. I think it was so epic. I think it's such a metaphor for just so many things. If you talk about feminism, you talk about women on the pole, can you really make change? Because a lot of women are like, I'm working my way through college on this pole, right? Or I'm paying for my health care on this pole, or I got a family to feed on this pole. And you say, people have all their thoughts, but a woman who was on a pole that really made national change, I think that is such a metaphor for being on
pole. That's right. Baby got up there and made it rain social justice like a mother.
I'm talking about change.
Wasn't it Bria? Yeah, I love what she did.
I just would love to have a conversation with her, just to ask her what exactly
Bria Newsom.
What exactly was your plan? Like, did you just wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to get on this pole?
It took a lot of heart.
That's a lot of work. I mean, to climb a pole in the first place, that's a lot of work. And then to get up there and to get the flag down, you're talking about this woman had core. She has some serious core strength.
Oh, to get up and down.
To get up and down on the pole.
Then have to lock herself in place.
Lock it and get the flag
and then remove
down.
The flag. And at some point, she had to use both hands to do it, where she had her arm around the pole and doing it as she took it down.
I'm telling you right
now. And she had the white boy waiting for her at the bottom of the pole.
I wasn't going to bring that up. Had the white boy spotting her. I said, why couldn't a brother be revolutionary and support the black woman going up to get the pole?
I'm telling you right now, because
a blonde white boy at that.
Long hair blonde white boy.
Nothing like white guilt now. You need some white guilt at the bottom of the pole.
Oh.
White guilt is a beautiful thing.
You think it was guilt? That wasn't guilt.
Come on now. He felt bad for all his ancestors that had enslaved all her ancestors. That's all it was.
So I'll let you take down the flag.
I'm going to let you take the flag down, and then I'm going to catch you where you fall.
Also, another thing, too. Why is it that people took so long to debating the offensiveness of the Confederate flag? Would you debate the offensiveness of a swastika? No.
No.
But when it comes to black folk and the Confederate flag, it's a part of my history and my culture.
Yeah, they do say that.
Of oppressing my people and my culture and alienation and theft of culture.
Yes.
And psychological and emotional trauma passed down through generations.
Right.
That's what got me debating whether or not it was offensive and it was horrific and it should be placed in a museum and removed.
There's a whole contingent who honestly ride that whole. It's a symbol of the other side of the country. It's a symbol of the Civil War struggle with the sword. It's a symbol of all of those brave and gallant men who fought for the Confederacy. They've really tried to make it a patriotic kind of thing. And I just think it's absurd.
But why are they technically traitors?
Yes. Right.
Just throw it out. Wow. Right. The Confederacy. Because there's only one. They just jumped up and said, we got our own country.
Yeah. In the same
just
country.
Just swole up.
Yeah. In the same country.
In the same country.
Well, you know, what people don't realize is that we had this debate in the show, that happened on the show the other day, not long ago, but that every document you read about, remember, this was the War of Secession because the South seceded from the North.
Mm-hmm.
And South Carolina, all their founding documents were, they're trying to take slavery away from us. We can't have that.
Everything.
We love our
and
Negroes.
So
we
how
want
is
to keep
it
them.
Not about
not that they wanted handicapped parking.
Right.
No.
Not that they wanted to get the license plate with the little Confederate flag emboldened on there as a point of pride.
You're taking away our major financial means of living, which is enslaving other full human
beings. But it's just a flag.
Yeah, not if you're writing it down in law. Like, if your state
covenants...
And I got to
stop, you know, you had to give up certain TV shows. Like, you got to give up the Dukes
of
Hazzard.
Right.
You even got to give up certain parts of Burt Reynolds.
Oh, for the...
Smokey.
Smokey and the Bandit.
But the little... Wasn't there a monkey in that? What was that about? What was it with the little monkey? Wasn't there a monkey in that? There was a monkey, a Confederate flag, and a white
chimpanzee,
man.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, like...
Oh, now you're getting the Clint Eastwood, which is not surprising now.
Okay.
That was an orangutan.
In orangutan.
Oh, it was an orangutan.
With Clint Eastwood in Any Which Way But Loose series of films.
Now, but you have to remember while we're saying all this, that this is the week that we honor the first making of Colonel Sanders' fried chicken.
You got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
1930, I think it was. Something like that.
Talk about cultural appropriation and theft.
This is the week
we
celebrate.
This man stole
the beginning of the secret recipe.
Stole a recipe. From Miss Lucy.
Right.
You know he stole that. Who worked in the house?
I think he probably slept with her and had children by her, too.
And they fried the chicken. They had some runes. They had some runes in there.
That he never acknowledged.
You know that's Miss Lucy's recipe.
But he sent them all. He sent them all to Spelman on the low.
There it is. Uh-huh. On the chicken secret recipe.
On the secret recipe.
It's a secret because he don't know what it is.
Colonel
it's
Sanders,
Lucy's
illegitimate
recipe.
Black children all went to Spelman on chicken money.
But, Coley, the reason why it's a secret recipe is because he don't know what it is because it's Miss Lucy's recipe.
Yes.
It's not his. That's why it's a secret. Do you know it's in the vault somewhere? Miss Lucy probably had it down in her bra before she died, and they probably tried to put her on cryonics and freeze her so they could hold on to that recipe because she wasn't letting go. You know you can't get nothing out of a black woman's bra. You can't just go in there and snatch your stuff out. She got to hand it over to you. Miss Lucy ain't never handed over. So I'm convinced that this, what are we commemorating this recipe?
I just popped in my head.
Why did you bring up chicken as we were talking about the Confederate?
Because it all fit with the flag of Dixie and, you know, all the other.
They got the Confederate flag black people. Of course, you got fried chicken. And let me tell you something.
I did that for your veganhood.
Adding to the cuisine of the world, come on. Fried chicken is the bomb. Along with collard greens. This you're talking about power and influence and everything else? That is an amazing creation right there. But also, cultural appropriation. Taking fried chicken, created by African people, kidnapped from their homeland, and then the beginning of self-esteem. You look at most fried chicken establishments throughout major urban markets, there are no African people cooking the chicken.
I was waiting for you.
But we consume that chicken.
I've been sitting here waiting how we were going to bring this full circle.
Because
you said something about appropriation and fried chicken. Yeah. And I said, ooh, how is Coley going to do this?
I'm bringing it around.
You brought it around. Who's cooking the chicken, Coley? Say it. Who is cooking
the chicken?
The chicken?
Nobody black. I can tell you that. What's amazing is you've got, and I begrudge them. If they got the grind, Asian folks, they're like Greek, Eastern European folk rocking chicken. Even got to the point, and I had a friend say, I don't even like my grandmother's fried chicken no more. I'm going to go up here into the carryout and get me a chicken box. That's some good chicken.
Please.
When was the last time you had a chicken box?
Circa 1993.
But ask her.
And let me tell you where my spot was.
Had a tofu chicken.
Yes,
chicken
let me tell you, I made some last night. Yes, thank you very much. I made some chickenless fried chicken strips. You can see them on my Instagram at
Indiana Comedy.
Why aren't
they here for us to consume?
Because y'all can't appreciate it. If it doesn't have a heartbeat, y'all can't eat it. You know, you guys need something that has offspring that used to be alive, walking, maybe making sounds and stuff. And so you guys can't appreciate it.
Why you gotta put me in that box?
I don't know, Mark. And plus, it wasn't kosher.
Tofu is kosher.
Michelle.
It wasn't.
As long as you got enough seasoning.
That first?
No.
As long as you got enough seasoning to contribute to hypertension.
As long as you got enough salt, please look at my Instagram page. My chickenless fried chicken strips are amazing. And my tofu tidbit bites are amazing. So much so that a chef commented on my bites and he said these look epic and he wanted my recipe. So I get down and we got to have the crystal hot sauce. You got to have the crystal hot sauce to douse on top of it. Or my daughter's now into Sweet Baby Ray's. So these are shameless plugs for barbecue sauce and hot sauce.
I know because I'm a hot sauce connoisseur. I'm not playing. There's certainly not the Louisiana Crystal. That's good.
That's
I'm getting no advertising. Yeah. But then there's some, I found this habanera salsa.
See, that's too much. On your chicken, Coley.
Yes.
But,
oh, Lord.
I love hot, but I'm not allowed to eat hot. But I will say, this has been hot.
This has been hot.
Michelle, the indie comedy of mom and Coley Jangela.
He said the indie comedy. Did he say it again?
What did I say, baby?
You said Michelle, the indie comedy of mom.
Did I say that again?
You did say that again.
Darn.
Jeez Louise.
Michelle, the indie mom.
Of comedy. Yes.
How do I want to change that around?
I have no clue.
I'm a little dyslexic.
Among other things, and I'll take that. I'll take some of that.
And my good old friend, Coley Jangela.
Yes, sir.
Who is head of Jangela Entertainment, of course, does Jangela's Take here on The Mark Steiner Show. Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
Good to be here, Mark.
We're about to go to break here on The Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And on our way there, it's Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones. On this day in 1972, a bomb exploded under the Rolling Stones equipment van in Montreal. was believed to be the work of Quebecois separatists. At the same show, angry fans rioted and threw bottles and rocks after 3,000 tickets for the show turned out to be fake.